Lewis Gordon on behalf of the petitioner Minraj Newpain. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Newpain is a Nepalese asylum applicant and he's seeking review of the Board of Immigration Appeals affirmation of the immigration judge's denial. Now, it's crucial for me to point out to the court that the immigration judge who wrote the decision in this case was not the same judge who heard the case and conducted the hearing. That's noted on page 91 in the record that after Judge Jurgen retired, he was replaced. And it's crucial in this case because the presentation of Mr. Newpain's passport, which was given to the government attorney in court, should not have been challenged by the new judge writing the decision after Judge Jurgen retired. I want to point out that in the transcript of the hearing, the government attorney, the trial attorney, said after examining Mr. Newpain on page 222 that though there were other stamps in the passport, they weren't relevant to her questioning, and she didn't have time to copy the additional page that had marks on it. But more importantly, on page 232, she said that she, after cross-examining Mr. Newpain, she didn't have problems with his credibility and was more concerned with the one-year issue and whether, if the department waived cross-examination, would Mr. Newpain accept withholding of removal. At the end of the hearing, Judge Jurgen, who heard the case, said to the government attorney, your only problem with credibility is the LOHO issue regarding returning to the country of persecution. And the government attorney said, correct. And Judge Jurgen asked her again, and she confirmed that. And then the board said it wasn't basing its decision on the LOHO reasoning by the IJ. So there really should be no credibility issue before this court.
Then when the board decided the case, they said he was questioned regarding the stamps for Iran's passport and the lack of any stamps showing his entry or exit into Dubai at that time. But in fact, there's no evidence that there was a lack of stamps.
There's no evidence that there was a lack of stamps. And also at page 743 in the record, there's another letter from a supporting witness that the person who took him to Dubai mentions that in there. And so there was no evidence, and the government's attorney seemed satisfied with the passport, and the judge never said to him, do you have evidence in the passport that you went to Dubai?
But the BIA said they did ask him that, but they didn't ask him that.
Correct. So
my understanding was that the pages were missing that showed the trip to Dubai. Is that not correct?
They were not put into the record, is what happened. The passport was shown.
What about his trip to Iran? That was missing too.
The government attorney copied those pages and put that into the passport. The line of questioning that the government's attorney had done was why didn't you mention in your direct testimony that you had gone to Iran? And she asked him about it, and he noted that he had gone to Kish Island in Iran, and she copied those pages and put them in the record. There never was an issue about whether he had gone to Dubai in this questioning. That only came up subsequently when the second IJ reviewing the record raised that issue.
And then apparently you were discussing this issue a second ago, but he, after his persecution, he did return to Nepal.
Yes, Your Honor. But the board says that they are not questioning his credibility based on that. That's on paper in the first page of the board decision.
The board specifically didn't rely on that. So the board relied only on this thing about the passport. And my understanding what happened with that is that he submitted 2 pages of the passport just to show the stamps of him coming into the United States. And then the United States, the government asked for the passport, took, and then it submitted, and it explained that it submitted only the pages showing he went to Iran. He said there were others that showed other stamps, but they weren't bothering with that. So when the board said that he omitted the pages showing his travel to Iran, he didn't omit them. He just only submitted, he submitted pages only for the purposes of showing he came to the United States. Is that right? That's
correct, Your Honor.
All right. So, then the other piece, and I guess the piece that you need to talk about, the other thing the board relied on is this business about where his sister got the letter, got a letter. And I was fairly confused about that because in the transcript, when he first goes through where he got various documents, he says as to one document, which sounds like this document, but I don't know if it is, that he says his sister went to the office and got the letter. And later he says sort of more generically that she went and got everything at his house. And he says yeah, she got this letter at his house. So I couldn't tell if there was more than one letter for Tarandal or what that was about.
So, Your Honor, there's many documents in this case that he submitted. In fact, it's an extremely well-documented case. The proprietor of the company submitted a letter. The Village Development Committee person submitted a letter. His uncle submitted a letter. The person he went to dinner with, where he was attacked, submitted a letter. There were IDs that were submitted in a Nepali Congress record, his father's death certificate, the hospital record. So he said most of those documents were at the house and sent by his sister. And he was, in the context of the hearing, he may have been confused by the questioning. If we look at page 245, the immigration judge had said, did you get this before you left Nepal? And he says, no, later. Then he says he's not sure. And then the judge is pressuring him finally. So before you left Nepal, and then he says, I believe so. So the reason this is important is because under Shrestha and the totality of circumstances, whether the sister sent him the document before or after, or whether he had the document before or the sister got it afterwards, is kind of trivial in the scope of all the documentation that he got. And as we noted in the brief, nobody questioned whether he was in the Tarandal or not. It was a question of, the question was about whether the sister got the document before or after he left.
Counsel, let me ask you this, because as I'm hearing you now and what I've read, you're saying that the order is completely bogus. It's been entered because the five facts that were originally argued are nowhere near what the order says. Is that your position?
Well, Your Honor, I don't. Bogus is a very strong term.
That's why I used the word, because that's your argument, is that the order.
Well, Your Honor, this bogus. I believe it's not accurate. And the reason it's not accurate is because the judge who was reviewing the record of proceedings wasn't there at the proceedings. And so there.
Does that happen? I mean, it seems to me that given all the emphasis on demeanor and on the IJ who's there and deferring to him, if this IJ wasn't there, why should we defer to him at all?
Well, I don't believe under substantial evidence you can.
I didn't realize that, and I've never seen it before. It's extremely strange.
So I'm sorry, was it the IJ who heard the evidence is not the IJ who wrote the IJ order?
Correct. And on page 91, it says that he was replaced. And it seems to me that when we look through all this the transcript and you look at what went on, they're two separate people, and they don't match.
So what should we do about that?
I believe that this case should be remanded, Your Honor.
For a new hearing or what?
Well, there's a problem in that the board never addressed the one-year issue, or it addressed the one-year issue, but it didn't address a number of issues in the case. So if you could remand for a new hearing, you can't grant, I don't believe, because you can only grant on credibility. They still have to evaluate the other issues, but
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I've 108 of the transcript, and this was before the cross-examination, as I understand it, and he's going through all the documents where he got them. He says, he goes through a bunch of them and says, my sister got them from the house and so on. And then she says, this is Exhibit 2C, page 5, a letter by Nepali Congress District Activity Committee. Now, I don't know if that's the letter they were talking about later. How did you come to have that document in the United States? This was sent by my sister. How did your sister obtain that document in Nepal? My sister went to the office, then said about my involvement and my support to the party, and then they made it for me from the office, which is consistent with what he said later, when they asked him how come it said 2009, but I can't tell whether that's the same letter, but at least as to one letter he said that originally before anybody raised any issue. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Is it the same letter or is it some other letter?
Well, there's another letter from the Nepali Congress, right? Uh-huh. I believe the Tarun Dal is a subgroup of the Nepali Congress. And I believe
he could have been doing this confusing the two letters later on.
It could be.
Okay, why don't we hear? You're over your time. Could I ask
just one quick question?
Yes,
Judge. Counsel, did you make this same argument in your briefs? I mean, I'm recalling what I read, and this is. Did you make this argument in your briefs below? I mean, in your brief to us.
No, Your Honor, I didn't write the brief.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Mercia.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Lisa S. Mercy of the Office of Immigration Litigation for the respondent. There's one primary issue before the court today, whether the record compels reversal of the agency's adverse credibility finding. Your Honors, as argued in the respondent's brief, the record reflects that Mr. Nubain's testimony was internally consistent and inconsistent with his Sumeta supporting documents.
Isn't the board wrong when it says, when questioned regarding the stamps for Iran's passport and the lack of any stamps showing his entry or exit? First of all, was he asked about the lack of any stamps showing his entry or exit into Dubai at that time?
What he was asked about was the lack of submitting any other pages of his passport. And that when...
About that? I don't even think he was asked about that.
You know, he was, Your Honor,
was
if I may.
Where was he asked about
that? So he's asked about this. So he initially claims in his initial testimony, he only mentions Dubai. He only says, the Mayoists scared me. I went to my employer. I went to Dubai. On cross-examination, DHS counsel... I'm sorry?
Is it possible or even likely that he went to Iran from Dubai?
Well, Your Honor, the question is whether or not he... First of all, he didn't disclose these passport pages.
Right.
And second of all, when he only mentioned Iran... when he was confronted with additional passport pages.
No,
the DHS counsel...
Just a minute, that's not true either. What happened was they came in and she said, you know, is this your current passport? And she said, where, when you had this passport, where did you go? he said Dubai and Iran, and that was before anybody showed him any pages about Iran. Is that correct?
Your Honor, if I may, I'm fairly sure it happened. So at the beginning of the hearing, DHS counsel asked if there were any additional pages, if he had a current passport. Didn't ask about additional pages, but she did ask, like, I don't see anything else on this passport in the record. Can I see it? His opposing counsel said, sure. She gets the passport and she looks at it and gets additional copies of these additional pages. She notices that there's some sort of discrepancy there. And then during cross-examination, she brings the passport in front of her. So I'm looking at page 211, and DHS counsel says, now, sir, I have your passport in front of me. I believe, Your Honor, there are copies of certain pages of the passport to the record already. Exhibit, I believe it's 2C, pages 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then she says, sir, the passport I'm holding up, do you recognize this? So she shows him the passport that she's looking at. Is this your passport? And then she goes on, questions him about the passport a little bit. And then she goes on and then says, where did you travel using the passport? And then he says, Qatar, Nepal, Qatar. And then later on, she eventually, I'm sorry, I have to switch between this and the record. So she eventually asks him, so she's going on and she's asking him about Dubai and Qatar. And so she has shown him the passport at that point. And then finally on page 217 and 18, she says, other than the trip that you've already told us about to Qatar and the trip to Dubai, where else have you traveled with this passport? And then he asks, in this current passport? And she says, yes. And then at that point, he discloses in Dubai and Iran.
Right, but not when he showed him any pages, right?
Well, she had just shown him the passport. At least in the record, it appears that she showed him the passport.
What motive? What is this relevant to anyway? What motive does he have
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Your Honor, again, as we argue in our brief, the disclosure, first of all, this is an inconsistency between the documents in the record and his testimony. Which is,
I understand that. He never said he didn't go to Iran. They never asked him to go to Iran. And then she said, I'd like to submit a few extra pages of the passport that have not been previously submitted, but he didn't omit anything because he didn't purport to be submitting the whole passport.
Your Honor, I'm sorry.
Right? All he purported to be submitting at the beginning was the cover page and the page showing when he came to the United States. Nothing else, right?
Your Honor, if I may illustrate one reason that this is absolutely important. So as we argue in our brief, this is a significant detail because the impetus for him leaving, and in his supporting documents, he says he goes to Dubai because the Maoists attack him. He says he stays in Dubai because the Maoists attack him. And he says he does not return to Nepal until he's told the Maoists haven't searched for me for a while, so I returned to Nepal. However, in his Iran, in the pages that are shown by DHS counsel, as we point out in our brief, if the visa stamps on the Iranian visas are to be believed, his visa in Iran expires in January 2006, the exact date he chooses to go back to Nepal, as he alleges, because the Maoists is no longer searching to him. And in fact, in his cross-examination testimony on pages 222 and page 223, there's a very interesting exchange there that sort of illustrates this point. He is asked by DHS counsel, sir, why did you return to Nepal after you'd been in Iran? DHS has counsel asked this. Mr. Newpain states, he doesn't state, oh, the Maoists are no longer looking for me. What he actually states is, I had gone there from on behalf of the famous human resources, the company that he worked there for, to source for that new jobs, and we did not find any new jobs. That is why I went back to Nepal. He doesn't say I had heard the Mayoists aren't looking for me. He says that for whatever reason, the jobs dried up in Iran, or there were no other new jobs there, and that's why he returns to Nepal.
On page 128 of the transcript, and your opponent mentioned this, the DHA lawyer says there are a couple of the pages on the passport that had stamps on them, but they were not relevant to my questioning and didn't have time to copy the additional pages. So is there any evidence that he didn't go to Dubai, and that the word stamps in the passport for Dubai?
Your Honor, I think the relevant question here is whether or not he disclosed that he went to Iran. And as we
But that's not what the BIA said. The BIA said that he omitted that he didn't go to Dubai, and that's and was asked about it. He wasn't asked about it, and there's no evidence he didn't go. Is that right?
I believe that the board's language regarding this
lack of any stamps showing
the response. I'm sorry,
Dubai. That's not true, right? There was no evidence that there was a lack of stamps.
Your Honor. I'm sorry. In Your Honor, the petitioners, the DHS disclosed that they weren't submitting any other of the pages of the passport at that point. The judge at that point stated to petitioner's counsel, do you want to submit anything else from the passport? Petitioner's counsel did not at that point. DHS, contrary to petitioner's counsel's allegation or argument that he's just making now, DHS did not concede the idea of credibility at this point. DHS counsel simply said, if Your Honor wants to address anything else, that's fine. The way that the board states it is the respondent did not state that, or the petitioner here, did not state that he traveled anywhere else during this period. It shows that he entered Iran in November 2005, was granted numerous visa extensions until January 2006. So
counsel, what is the overarching point that you're trying to make? Because you seem to be quibbling a lot. And what is your overarching point? Why is this adverse credibility decision that's based in part on the trips to Dubai and Iran? Why is that valid?
Your Honor, there are two instances of inconsistencies here that are essentially undisputed. I would respectfully disagree that there's any mischaracterization of the record by the agency here. The agency clearly points out that he did not mention until confronted on cross-examination his trip to Iran. And second of all, that there was inconsistencies relating to the obtaining of his letter regarding the Tarandal. And on that basis, under the totality of the circumstances, under the standards of Shrestha, that the immigration judge can view inconsistencies between testimony and record evidence, that the...
Is this a pre-ID or post-ID?
This is a post-Real ID Act case. And under that circumstances... Under Shrestha, the totality of the circumstance, all relevant factors, the agency here can look at inconsistencies, even if they are minor inconsistencies, and still find...
Let me ask you another question. If let's take his testimony as true. What do we make of the changed country conditions in this record?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I would have to be... speculating about that simply because the agency didn't reach that question. Of course, the immigration judge did discuss it regarding just simply country conditions for the Convention Against Torture claim, but he did not discuss it, or the agency didn't reach that question ultimately for the question of, or the board didn't. The board only upheld on adverse credibility.
What about the board... on page 2 said, finally, we find no reason to disturb the immigration judge's decision on CAT based on consideration of changed country conditions in Nepal affecting the respondent's claim. And he cites the IJ at 10 to 11.
As Your Honor, as I, I'm sorry, I'm out of time, but I certainly would respond to your question. Your Honor, all I meant was that adverse credibility was the end all be all for asylum withholding of removal. But yes, for change country conditions, conditions were discussed.
You've been talking over the judges the whole time. It was,
I'm sorry.
Look on page 10 of the IJ decision. Additionally, the extensive country conditions evidence in the record demonstrates a rapidly changing Nepal, and it goes through, and that's before the IJ gets to the Convention Against Torture.
Your Honor, but the board only upheld the adverse credibility for the asylum withholding, but it upholds the Convention Against Torture based on country conditions.
If you don't want me to help you out, I won't.
Your Honor, I'm just saying the change country conditions.
Never mind. Your time's up. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Gordon.
Yes, Your Honor. So I would respectfully have to disagree with government counsel on the trial attorney at the hearing conceding the credibility issue regarding the passport and the documents, because when the judge asked her at page 446, your only problem with credibility is LOHO, trial attorney said correct. Now, regarding the CAT issue, the government brief at page 46 says that Mr. Newpain doesn't dispute he wasn't tortured. That's not correct. The board decision doesn't review that aspect. It only reviews the country conditions. And I note another thing that I did want to point out is that there is evidence of the Maoists joining the government. I don't see how that makes the threat to Mr. Newpain any less. The Maoists actually have more power probably after the agreements than they did before. So Mr. Newpain remains in great danger. And of course, the totality of circumstances on the credibility issue, including all the documents in this very well-documented case, lead to conclusion that he was credible.
Yeah, and the IJ had problems with some of the documents, but the board doesn't seem to rely on those either.
I believe that the board doesn't rely on those documents because...
I mean, it doesn't rely on the problems with the documents.
Right, because the IJ, the new IJ, writing this decision, didn't give the petitioner, Mr. Newpain, the opportunity to respond to those issues. So therefore, the board can uphold that.
I see. And did you, in your brief, I don't remember, contest the CAT claim? The board did, with regard to the CAT claim, rely on changed country conditions.
Yes.
Did you contest that in your brief?
Yes. It's addressed in the brief, pages 26 to 29, essentially.
But the board didn't rely on the changed country conditions with regard to asylum and withholding, presumably because it could be different, I guess, on a switched burden, and they didn't get there because they said he wasn't credible, right? So they relied on the country conditions on CAT, but not on withholding and asylum.
Yes.
That's what I understand Ms. Mercia to be saying.
The board never gets to those issues in the asylum because they rely completely on the credibility determination.
And it could be different, theoretically, because it's a different burden.
It could be.
Okay, well, we're well over time on this case. And before I let you go, and I'd like everybody to hear this too, I didn't have the opportunity to thank Judge Baldock from the Tenth Circuit for joining us today, and we very much appreciate it and appreciate his work in helping out on these cases and all of his thoughtful comments and observations. So thank you, Judge Baldock. And this case, Newpain versus Wilkinson, will be submitted, and we will take up Garcia versus Wilkinson. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.